Welcome to Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 156 and Sirius Channel 195.
Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for more details about Oprah Radio. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
We're back on our Soul Series and delighted to be talking to Rainn Wilson from The Office today, who has created soulpancake.com. Mm-hmm. And you created it for all the reasons that we've been talking about.
Yes.
Really, to bring spirituality, creativity to a level that young people would be receptive.
Yes.
To the greater voices.
I love it.
To the greater voices.
I'm going
to
use that.
Okay, to the greater voices. Okay, and so how did you come up with that idea?
I have no idea. How did I come up with that idea? I don't know. It just kind of like, I had a couple of friends, Devin Gundry and Joshua Homnick, a couple of buddies of mine, and we spent a lot of hours consulting. We spent a lot of hours talking about, do we do this? Do we do that? How do we do this?
And you guys were actually sitting down saying, how do we get young people connected to the greater there is?
Yeah. How do I, Rainn Wilson, who is now kind of a somewhat of a recognizable celebrity, albeit for playing a weirdo.
Yeah. but isn't playing weird fun? Don't you love that guy?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you really like Dwight, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I love him.
Okay.
I love him.
Dwight's been very good to you.
Sweet love to him. No, that's terrible. Why would I say that? I'm so serious. I hope you edit that out.
No.
Oh. Yeah, and we consulted about it, and this is kind of what we came up with. I can't even remember, like, this. We had all kinds of different ideas. Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a show kind of like Soul Series where I would interview people about their faith and about spirituality, and I wanted to call it Metaphysical Milkshake.
Ooh.
And that was the first version, and then we were like, oh, that's too obtuse. And then I was like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to just play the role of a talk show
host. That's right, right.
In this case, I'm not dissing talk show hosts, believe me.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
But that's not really the best use of this. Like, let's, and then what it gradually came to is like social networking.
Right.
Let's try and create a community of people that are sharing work together, that are talking about life's big questions. That's what I felt was missing.
Good. I love that.
Talking life's big questions. Young people today aren't talking about it. Not even young people, people in our culture, if you go up to someone and you, not on the street, but if you're in the conversation and you say to them, what do you think happens when you die? What do you think happens after you die? People get freaked out.
Yes.
You know what? It's coming.
It's coming.
And not so long for some of us.
Actually, this is so funny you mentioned this, because I was at a friend's dinner party in Montecito. And it's our Montecito group of friends who gather together lots of times. And I asked, because in the dinner party, people are talking about nothing. So I thought, oh, well, I'm going to do my Oprah thing here and try to get some real conversation.
Yeah.
And ask that question, and it was a freak out. It turned out the table. Before you know it, people are getting up, putting their coats on, having to go home.
Do they really?
Yeah.
It kind of shut down the party. And there's nothing more a part of life than death.
I know. But it freaks people out.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the most important question that we can ever ask ourselves, really. And it affects our lives. You know, like the idea of the Native American warrior, today is a good day to die.
It brings you
in the moment, actually.
When you all were talking about this, you and your friends putting this whole soul pancake, which we're going to get to what it is in a minute. When you all were talking about it, did you talk about why people get so freaked by it? Why people, you know, never ask that question of themselves?
We delved into that a little bit. I think because we live in a culture that doesn't support people to ask those questions. And when people do ask those questions, it's usually under the context of some organized religion or some fundamentalist viewpoint about, you know, honestly, the idea of heaven and hell has very much shut down conversation about that question. Because it seems like people are either like, you know, I'm a composite of cells and chemicals, and when I'm dead, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Or B, I have no idea what happens after I die. Or C, if I'm good, I will go to heaven, and if I'm bad, I will go to hell, or some version thereof.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing kind of in between.
Wow. So...
I have a list of life's big questions. Can I hit you with some?
Yeah, go ahead. I'd like to hear what yours are.
All right, Oprah.
For my next dinner party.
Fasten your seatbelt.
It's go mystical on my ass.
What does your soul look like?
What does your soul look like? Ooh, that's good.
What do you miss most about being 5 years old?
Oh my God, that's really
good. If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Mm.
That's a good one. What would you ask God?
I would just ask God why.
Excellent question.
Why?
Which brings us to the biggest question of all. Why are we here? What is the purpose
of
life?
Yes, that would be it. Why, and why, and why, mm-hmm. and why, mm-hmm. and why humans, and why, and why, and why. So, Soul Pancake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just to give you an idea of what it is, folks, we're going to play this little clip.
Hi. I wrote a little song for you. It goes like this. My heart floats like a flower. I am sick of spirituality being airy-fairy, hippy-dippy, and precious. I want to have a debate about life's big questions. I want to de-lamify talking about God and religion. Soul Pancake is where spirituality and creativity meet. Want to join us?
Da, 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 da.
Boom.
So that's what it is.
We need a pancake recipe. Do you have any? I want to market Soul Pancake Mix.
I love that. I love that.
Are we good?
Yeah.
You have any recipes? You've got like a staff of chefs.
I do. Okay. Kind of. But when you sat down with these questions, though, and I'm still on that question of, you know, what do you miss most about being 5 years old? Your answer?
What do I miss most about being 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I hate the most as I grow older is my constant battle against being jaded. You know, my first reaction so many times, I get a piece of news or someone says something or even something inspiring about the world. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, that whole kind of jaded thing.
Cynical thing. Yeah.
It's so easy to become cynical. And it's a first defense. It's an easy way to go. It's the easiest thing to do is to be sarcastic. And 5 years old, you don't know. You don't know that.
You're just so open. Mm-hmm. You're open to receive.
Just open to possibility.
Yeah. So I'm talking to the actor who so excellently portrays the paper salesman whose ego knows no bounds, Dwight Schrute, on the hit TV show The Office, Rainn Wilson. So Soul Pancake is about, as you were saying, Soul Pancake Mix, creating this mixture of everybody else's ideas and thoughts. So you go to the .com and you are...
I had no idea, first of all, that creating a website was so hard. It's ridiculously hard. I thought it's like, oh, there's pages and the things. And
people
just make it
here.
Make it do the thing that it with the thing. It's been like a year we've been working on this thing, and we're going to be gradually unfolding it. So it's not immediately active in the way that we want it to be. It will be a gradual process. But eventually we would like it to be a social networking site in the same way that MySpace is or Facebook is,
mm-hmm.
where it creates an online community of people who are interested in digging into life's big questions and interested in the arts. We're going to sponsor contests. We're going to have what we call burners, like burners on a stove where you cook pancakes, of visual arts, music, written word, and moving arts like film and video and animation, and submissions, interviews with artists, challenges, and we want to create a world community where you can see, like, you might have, you might do a contest where you talk about what your soul looks like, and then someone in Nepal might be doing that, and someone in South Africa might be doing that, and you get to talk to people all over the world about life's big questions and get a world perspective as well.
You know what I think my soul looks? I think it looks like everybody I see. I think it looks like everybody and everything that I see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's mine right. looks like Steve Carell. No, I'm just... hairy, No, I'm not going to go there.
You're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Do you, so I know you guys came up with these questions. Do you think about life's big questions for yourself?
I do. I do all the time. In my own life, you know, I felt myself go on a spiritual journey that I'm still on.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Because you never really leave it till you take your last breath.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Unless you're shut down. Well, a lot of people are on the journey, don't know they're on it because they're just so shut down. They're just walking blindly through it. Yeah,
absolutely. So it was about taking other young people on a spiritual journey. But I had a big crisis of faith. And so I had to kind of rediscover my personal faith, my connection.
What was your crisis?
To God. Well, what happened was at around age of 20, I moved to New York City to become an actor. I went to acting school at NYU. And I got fed up with the Baha'i faith. I got sick of all the Baha'is and their crazy ways. And I didn't want organized religion. I didn't want morality. I didn't want some God looking down on me and judging. I didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
And I cast away all religious thought and faith. And I just said, you know,
but what you just described to us here about Baha'is, I'm thinking they're so open to all religions and open to the connectedness of, you know, humankind.
It wasn't the most mature response I had.
Okay, it was your 20-year-old self.
It was time for me to rebel. And
okay.
So I was in New York City. I dyed my hair black. I was smoking filterless cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. No one's going to tell me anything.
Yes.
Certainly
okay.
not the faith of my parents.
You know. One of those moments.
Exactly. Yeah. But what became my religion, Oprah, was, believe it or not, art and acting and the theater. And I threw myself into acting with the same like evangelism as someone would have about a religion. I really thought that by training as actors and doing theater, we could touch people's hearts and we could change the world. And you know, so I went on a long journey of developing my career as an actor and actively not knowing if there was a God. And just put myself into art as my religion, which is supported in my faith because, you know, we talked about creativity and faith, but
being
also
creativity being a prayer,
but also that in the Baha'i faith, there's something that is called individual investigation of truth, which is in this day and age, there's no clergy in the Baha'i faith. There's no one saying, here's how we interpret the word of God, and here's my interpretation.
Does somebody preach to you? Nobody preaches to you?
No, we preach to each other. That's it.
So that's what's going on in there in the temple.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. We read holy writings, and some people will talk, and it's just their opinion.
But there's nobody standing up in front in the morning.
There's no one in a robe or a funny hat or anything like that.
Okay.
Not knocking the clergy, but there's amazing clergy members out there.
So how do you even, you go into a service, how do you even get organized to do anything?
It's barely organized. People talk about organized religion. By faith, the most disorganized religion.
Everybody just gathers together at a certain time. You sing a song or what?
It's a democratic religion, if anything is possible. In the city of Chicago, there's what's called a local spiritual assembly, and there are 9 members who are elected every year to serve the needs of the community. So the members of the local spiritual assembly act as the administrators, but they don't have any power over anyone else. They don't have any station over anyone else.
But you do like have a service, because why would you need the temple?
Yeah, but in the house of worship, that's for people of all religions to come and worship. There's not actually any Baha'i ceremonies that take place in the house of worship. The Baha'is build it as a service to the community. You can go there, pray, meditate, whatever. Bring that guy.
Okay,
go on over, bring a bag lunch.
This is so interesting because it's such a beautiful temple. It's always held this mystery. And I'm sure a lot of people have felt like, what goes on in there?
Oh, yeah. No, nothing. There's no sacrifice of goats or anything like that.
Okay, so what do the Baha'is believe happen to the body when it dies?
Well, that we are in... we are in one of the many different worlds of God, infinite worlds of God. We happen to be on the physical realm, dealing with our challenges in this world.
Right.
And one of the challenges we have in this world is free will. This is a world of free will. So we are making our choices about our life, day in and day out. God is all powerful, all compassionate, and when we pass our physical body on, our eternal soul will go to the next realm. Yeah, it's called, in the Baha'i Faith, it's called the Abha Kingdom, the Kingdom of Glory.
And is that one place or is that many places?
It's one and many places. We don't really know, but there certainly is not a heaven or a hell.
Yeah.
And I know I could never believe in...
In a heaven or a hell.
Yeah, can you think about a loving God that it's like, oh, if you happen to be a Tibetan child and never hear about Christianity, then for eternity you're going to be in a cavern with fire and brimstone?
Makes no sense,
does it?
Being poked with a spear? Doesn't make any sense.
How could a god, what a horrible monster of a god that would do something like that? That's a terrible, terrible person. We leave our physical realm and we go on to many different realms. There's an analogy used in the Baha'i Faith, which is like the child in the womb. When the child is in the womb, it's growing its physical arms and legs and eyes and ears that it needs to be in this world. And when we're in this world, we are growing our spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears that we will need in future worlds. And those spiritual arms and legs and eyes and ears are compassion and patience and kindness and reverence, what all of those qualities of God, those spiritual qualities that make humanity rise above just being an animal.
And that's what Soul Pancake is about. SoulPancake.com is to help another generation, my generation, as well as the younger generation, to connect to that. That's what true service on earth is about all the things you just listed.
You're saying it magnificently.
Yes. It's about your sense of compassion and harmony and truly reverence for life.
That is beautiful. You're saying it better than I ever could.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to clarify. That's what it is really all about.
I spoke earlier about this. There's an idea in my religious belief about individual investigation of truth, that individuals have an obligation to find the truth for themselves. So I want kids, maybe there's some kid who watches The Office in Omaha, Nebraska, and he's feeling a little bit lost and has an aching or a longing for God in some way in his life, or not even God, but just purpose or something more. There's got to be something more than
here?
This material world.
I
want to ask life's big questions, but if I do it at school, like people throw me into soda machines.
They think I'm a geek.
Maybe this can be of service to someone like that.
And, you know, I was doing a webcast the other night with some spiritual leaders, and it was interesting because a woman called in, and she was so sincere. I can't remember her name, but she was from Nevada. She was Skyping in, saying she wants exactly what you're talking about here. I should have told her about Soul Pancake, because she was saying, I want to raise my children with a sense of spirituality and connectedness, but yet the old ways of religion, the old religious ways, traditions that I was brought up on, don't feel like it's not, number one, connected or right. You know, she wasn't as interested in the doctrine and the judgment as she was in raising kids who had this sense of what you're talking about. Yes. So what would be your advice to someone who's trying to do that for their young children? What do you do for your son, Walter? How do you speak of spirituality?
Excellent question.
Yes.
We teach Walter about God. We pray every night, and we talk about, what we believe about God. And it was very cute. Walter went into preschool the other day, and he goes to the preschool teacher, who's like, Miss Pat, did you know that God is everywhere, and he's in your heart, and he's in our heart, and he loves everyone? I was like, right on. That's my boy. There you go.
There you go, Walter.
For me, it's all about this. It's about this spiritual journey. You know, I talked about after I was an actor and I was started investigating whether, in fact, there was a God, I came to believe that I couldn't.
What made you conclude that there was?
Well, I read all of the holy books in the world. Well, not all of them, but
what?
I read the central books of the main religions.
You did?
Yeah, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I read the Dhammapadas, and I read the Quran and the Bible. And
you read them?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
well,
you are a
scholar.
A freak. Yeah, no, I'm not a scholar, just a weird dude. But, and what I read this book, this amazing book, I think it was called Gospel of the Red Man was one, and I read this other thing about Native American spirituality, and I was like, you know what, I can't believe in God, but you know what, I can believe in Wangkatanka. Wonkatanka, the Great Spirit of the Lakota, I think was the name of it.
Whoa.
And I was like, I can believe in an all-loving force that runs through nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's a starting place. That's where I can believe. That's
okay.
how kind of
so
my belief in God kind of came back to that. And I had an aha moment. You know, you ask your guests about
yes.
their aha moments.
Yes, and what was yours, Rain?
I was watching the Mets, and they were down at the bottom of the ninth, and I was with my friend Phil. And
paint the picture. What year? When?
I don't even know. 1992 or something
okay,
like
okay.
this. And 3-4 or something like that.
Okay.
And we're watching the Mets, and Daryl Strawberry was up, and it was the bottom of the ninth, and we were talking about Wonkatanka and God and about my spiritual journey and how I had this kind of longing for something more in my life, you know. And I was like, you know what? Let's put it to the test. Let's pray to Wonkatanka right now for the Mets to win. And if there is a Wonkatanka, then the Mets will win the game. What do you say? And he's like, sounds good. And I literally was like, oh, Great Spirit. Oh, Wonkatanka, if you exist, show yourself to me, and please let the Mets win this game.
Okay.
And then it was literally like, Daryl Strawberry hits a 3-run home run over the fence. The Mets win the game in the bottom of the ninth! And we were like, oh, my God! Oh, my God! And it was...
Oh, my God! There is a God!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Thank you, Daryl Strawberry. You taught me about God.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but that was, it was kind of a silly aha moment, but that kind of sums up kind of how my spiritual quest was going at that point. And then, you know, long story short, I came back to the faith that I grew up in, because to me it just made the most sense. For other people, it may not. But the most important thing is that in a very materialistic age, Oprah, we live in a very superficial time. And although there is a change coming,
mm-hmm.
I just want people to go on their own spiritual journeys, whatever that takes.
Have you been discouraged by, you know, interestingly enough, both of us are known people in the world. And so it always sounds sometimes disingenuous when known people, celebrities, talk about how crazy it's gotten with celebrity-dom. I mean, this whole worshiping of people worshiping, idolizing, putting on magazine covers, walking on the red carpets, picture, for people for what?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
I think that that's why I was so excited about this new abomination we're in,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that part of what this administration is going to do is bring back the idea of what we're talking about, community, what's really valuable to people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and service,
mm-hmm.
and service,
yeah.
in a way that we have never seen demonstrated before.
You know, you're summing that up so beautifully, because I think that if you take the temperature of your average young person, you know, what they want more than anything else, I read this in a study, was not fortune, but fame. Fame is
yes.
the number one thing that people want.
Yes.
And you talk to young people like, I'm going to be famous. And you can. You can be on a reality show and be famous.
I know.
You can
be famous for doing absolutely nothing.
You can
nothing
be an now. Heiress and be famous.
That's
you
right.
can be, you know.
You can have blogs and now be famous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And what if we could supplant the idea of fame with service? What if
yes.
there was a longing for service?
Yeah.
And in the Baha'i Faith, there's great prophecies. There's actual prophecies in the Baha'i Faith, this is going to sound really crazy, about America and about the United States of America and what an important role it will play in the development of humankind, because America will lead all nations spiritually. And
when was this written?
This was written in 1870s,
really?
1880s,
mm-hmm.
yeah, in Persia, where people are like, oh, America?
Yeah.
What is that place? The place with the Civil War? What?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about? But so it's America's spiritual station is also very important, and I think I'm starting to feel that, and you're talking about that with Obama, but with people's consciousness opening and changing, that we have the potential in this nation to not be the nation of people trying to acquire stuff and trying to acquire fame, but we could be a nation of service to the world.
Yeah, and I actually think that that's what this meltdown in the economy is here to teach us, if we will awaken and see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that I believe that what you address on this show is so beautiful, because I believe that the problem with the world is spiritual problems. And if you look at economics...
And it's all spiritual.
It's all spiritual.
It's all spiritual.
Come on.
I don't care
Come
what
on.
The subject is.
There we go.
It's all spiritual.
It is.
All spiritual
it's
all the time.
It's the environment.
Yep.
Politics.
Finances.
You know, finances.
All spiritual.
You name any of the issues in the world. There's education. There's...
Absolutely.
Just list goes on and on with all of the different... You read the... Open the paper and like, oh, that's broken. Oh, Social Security's broken.
Absolutely.
What are we going to do with the old people? Oh, this disease is happening. Oh, my God. What are we... You know, all of these things. If it comes back to basic human compassion, if everyone in the world are our brothers and sisters, if we're all one human family, and our hearts are in the right place, we can solve all of these problems. But we have to... It's not just about an environmental group or a political activist group. All of that stuff is important, but they're just tiny pieces in the puzzle. And the center of that puzzle is that spiritual journey.
And what is required, I believe, Rain, I'm talking to Rain Wilson, y'all, from the office. What is required is a sense of awakening on the part of all of us, the people, so that you don't need an environmental group or you don't need, you know, mm-hmm. groups or organizations, but people recognize that for themselves. There's really, we need to become awake.
We do. That's a perfect way to put it. And I think the arts can help awaken young people. I know it did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me a sense of purpose and passion in my life. And
but what a beautiful concept that you were talking about, the Baha'i faith believes, and that you're sharing on see, you can see my jet laggedness here. On soulpancake.com, that your art, your creativity is really your spirituality, your
mm-hmm.
prayer,
mm-hmm.
speaking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing.
And I, you know, I show up to work and I wear my ugly mustard colored shirts and I put my mm-hmm. glasses and my weird haircut on and
uh-huh.
and I think, why am I here again? I'm like, oh, you know what? I get to make people laugh. God gave me this gift of playing weird characters and
mm-hmm.
I get to create a memorable character and be a part of a really what I think is a great show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
And entertain people and make them laugh and... What a great service. We need laughter.
Yeah, but this is so interesting what you said earlier, too. You're on a great show, a hit show, Emmy Award-winning show, and yet you said you knew years ago that if you didn't do, if you didn't act, that you would be dead,
mm-hmm.
frozen tundra-like Chicago.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it is a hit show, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
But you would be doing it even if it wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, I did theater in New York for 9 or 10 years before I did any TV or film. And basically, you know, I drove a moving van and I was in starvation wages and eating day-old bagels. And for a long, long, long time, I just needed to act. I was hoping to get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to act, and if that meant doing community theater, so be it. I just needed to be an artist.
But also, last year you starred in the hit film The Rocker as The Rocker.
You say hit film, Oprah. it kind of bombed, but thanks for saying that. Thanks. I think that's the first time anyone's called The Rocker a hit film. But you know what? It's a good film. And
it's a good film.
I'll send you over a DVD.
I know what it's like to work really hard and want something to be successful, and
mm-hmm.
it's good work,
mm-hmm.
really great work,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody rushed out and invested in it the way
no,
you wanted them to.
47 people rushed out and invested their $10 in The Rocker.
I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I know mm-hmm. what that feels like. But still, it's about the art. It's about being able to do it.
It is. The Rocker is ridiculous. I mean, it's marketed with me with my butt crack showing and looking like a crazed, ridiculous lunatic. But it's someone getting a second chance at doing what they love to do, and it's a beautiful redemption tale with a love story and coming of age, and there's actually a beautiful spiritual message contained in the movie The Rocker.
Do you always look for the spiritual, even when you're doing a character? I don't know if Dwight has any.
No, certainly Dwight doesn't. No, not by a
Dwight
long
is
shot.
Not awakened.
No,
yet.
No, he is the most unawakened. You know, I have done a lot of kind of questionable, morally questionable stuff as a Baha'i and
yes.
as an actor. But you know, I also believe in providing for my family and making a living, and this is my craft.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I have definitely turned down stuff that has been like morally reprehensible.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So there's a line you won't cross.
There is a line. I don't know what it is, because certainly in the rocker, like drumming naked and vomiting every couple of minutes was, no, that's not what the movie is. It's actually a really sweet movie, but yeah, there's a line out there somewhere.
There's a line out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, you know, all of the big questions for yourself, for your family, for your life, what do you want you were talking about this a little earlier, about your art representing laughter and allowing people to laugh and, you know, mm-hmm. give that to people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really, though, in your day-to-day encounters, because not all the time are you acting, do you want your life to represent? Like your encounters with everyone, what do you want the message of your life to be?
Well, that's an awesome, awesome question, and I haven't really thought. I'm gonna write that down on my life's big questions.
What is the message of your life?
No, that's the most important thing, really, soul pancake or not, but just every interaction you have with mm-hmm. every single person. What do I want the message of my life to be? I want to have a great time and be living in God's will at the same time.
Ooh. Ooh, me
too. If I had to sum it up, like, I want to just have a kick-ass time and have a blast and be irreverent and listen to loud rock and roll music mm-hmm. And at the same time be of service to God's will, which I believe is being of service to humanity. But I want to be able to merge both of those two.
So do I.
Really?
Yeah.
We should talk.
We should talk of it. Come
call
on.
Me.
Come. No, really. I really, for this year, one of my goals is to be in the space, is to be connected and awakened in the space of God,
mm-hmm.
and to live in that awareness. I'm calling it. There's an old spiritual called "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Just a closer walk with Thee.
Sing it, yeah.
Just a closer walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with God. To be mm-hmm. in that space, but also be able to have, as you say, a kick-ass time. But to be connected to that space in a way that you're always everything that you do. There's a book I read a long time ago by Marianne Williamson, and she said she lives in the space. She lives in prayer on her knees, you know, to live in that space where you never leave it,
mm-hmm.
which is hard to do, don't you think?
It is. There's a Baha'i phrase from Abdu'l-Bahá, who's the son of the founder of the Baha'i faith, and he said, strive, therefore, that your actions may be beautiful prayers. Hmm. And I think that's what it's really
okay. So,
all
what
about.
Percentage of the time do you get that?
Four.
Right. Four. No, seriously.
No, I struggle with this. I can be impatient and rude and self-centered, and you know, I have a lot of daily struggles. So, what percentage? 23.7.
Okay.
How's that?
That's good.
And I'm gonna get it up to 31.2. In 2009.
All right, that's
with your help, and I want to have a closer walk with thee.
Thank you. So I want to know, what is your number? What would be your number one most exciting function on soulpancake.com? What's going to drive the hordes to join the community?
I am really excited about the idea of contests. Because
what kind?
Contests are...
You mentioned that earlier, but...
Yeah, I mean, if we literally... This is one thing we talked about early on. It's like, literally, the prize is $250.
Okay.
And you want to use the four different mediums that we have.
We can pay our light bill, so go ahead
that. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a large amount of money, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be $10,000 or something like that. It's just
$250, okay.
$250 and a contest to see who can come up with their best interpretation of what inspires you to be a better person.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of lame. why is there suffering in the world?
Hmm.
And we want to do this with video, or we want to do it with photography, we want to do it with writing, whatever it is, to have a contest to get people to really dig into that question and then use the tools of whatever art that they're undertaking and use those tools of that art to explore it and then upload it and have a discussion and a back and forth on the website, mm-hmm. and then have a voting process where wow. there's actually a winner. It's hard to say, like, who's the winner, who's the loser,
yeah.
but I do think that it's human nature to like a little competition.
This. Yeah.
And I think that could be really fun.
So adding a little competition to get mm-hmm. people to start to thinking about the big questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so would there be a big question every day or a list of big questions, life big questions? Because, you know, as I'm just sitting here looking at the questions, it's you can't think of all the answers at one time, you
no.
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Like, I'll leave here today, and I'll be thinking about that five-year-old question, because nobody's ever asked me that question.
Hey, all right.
I've never thought of that. Years ago, I was doing an interview with Gene Siskel, and at the end of the interview, Gene Siskel said to me, "What do you know for sure?" And I couldn't answer the question.
Mm.
And I went home, and I thought about it, and 3 days later, I called him, and he goes, "The show was over 3 days ago. I really don't need the answer now." Well, I was going, "Gene, I'm still not thinking about that."
What was your answer?
I can't remember what my answer was then, but it made such a profound impact on me. What?
Microsoft.
By Microsoft. But it made such an impression on me that I now, in my magazine, have my column called "What Do You Know for Sure?" because that question impressed me. So I'll be thinking about the five-year-old
right.
for
oh,
a
good.
Long time.
You want to
yeah.
put it in your magazine?
Think about it.
Yeah,
I'll give you
sure.
credit. Absolutely. I don't mind yeah. giving the people the credit.
All right. Good deal.
Good deal. Okay. On the site now, you have a, what is it?
Spatula fist. So a spatula in your fist. That is the logo of Soul Pancake.
Spatula fist.
Yeah. And then, so we're having people all over the planet send in them holding up their spatulas.
Oh, this is that whole social networking.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
all give our
opinions. A world social networking. And you can go on the map and you can see where everyone is on the globe and stuff like that. Geolocating or whatever it's called.
So what do you think this time means for us? I mean, you know, I'm all excited.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think all of this means? This time, this inauguration, Obama, this new level of consciousness. Where is it going to carry us?
Well, I think that there are great forces of progress in the world. There are ideas.
Just the fact that he could be elected.
The fact that he could be elected, which we would have, like, 18 years ago even, like, thinking,
five.
Like, that would have been 5 years ago,
yeah.
been like, no way.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And
four years ago when I first saw him at the Democratic National Convention 2004, I thought it would happen. I certainly didn't think it would happen this quickly. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all. But, you know, there are great forces of progress in the world
mm-hmm.
where I believe that we see God's plan for humankind unfolding. We see unity being created.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are really terrible forces at work in the world at the same time. And humankind has enormous challenges facing it. And both of those things are happening at the exact same time. Our whole world culture is being torn apart
mm-hmm.
With wars and famine and disease and economic injustice. And then there are these bright spots of hope and progression and people coming together and your soul series and things that are making the world a better place. So I see it as man eventually fulfilling his destiny.
Okay. Speaking of bright spots, you were saying there are also bright spots. I want to know what absolutely delights you.
What absolutely delights me?
What absolutely delights you?
There's so many things. Should I just start going through them?
Yeah, just start going through.
My wife and son.
Oh.
Just
the way you said that in your eyes made me want to tear up just there.
I'm gonna cry.
All you said was my wife and son.
No.
Just the way you said it made my eyes water.
The band Radiohead.
Okay.
I think maybe my most profound spiritual experience, besides visiting the Baha'i Holy Lands in Israel, was seeing Radiohead in concert. I saw them 3 times this last summer.
Really?
So
you feel
that delights me.
Okay. The way I feel about Tina Turner on stage.
Oh.
68 in 6-inch Balloons.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, good. You know, we started out saying, oh, gee, an hour, what are we going to talk about? And now we've gone over. We're over.
No way.
We're way over.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to give you 18 minutes
no,
to talk about.
No, we're over now by a minute and 42 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you for joining me. It was delightful.
Oh, what an honor to be on your show.
And delightful.
It's absolutely absurd that you have some of the greatest thinkers and philosophizers and spiritual people on the planet. And
No, and, but when I heard you were doing this, you know who told me about you? Oh. Elizabeth Lesser, who runs the Omega Institute.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Did she send in her spatufist? The Soul Pancake?
Yes. Not only that, they want you to come to Omega, is what I heard.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes, yeah.
I love her stuff. I heard it on Sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's
That's
amazing.
Who told me about you. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is she the
I mean, I knew
moment?
About you as a yeah. Dwight, but I didn't know that right. you were doing this whole Soul Pancake thing.
That's fantastic.
And that you were a really connected, wise, thoughtful mm-hmm. individual. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that it's acting, but.
Well.
A delight. May I say again, a delight to
Thank
talk
you,
to
Oprah.
Rainn Wilson. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of Soul Series. Soul Series is a part of Oprah Radio, exclusively on XM Channel 156 and Sirius Channel 195. These are some of my favorite conversations.
For more Best Life programming 24 hours a day, listen to Oprah Radio. Go to xmradio.com/Oprah for details.